Urgent announcement, America. It's time to rise up and reclaim our values. Welcome to Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. This is your platform for truth and action. Join Steve and our guests as we confront the critical issues facing our nation today. We stand together for a pro-American, pro-family future rooted in our foundational truths. From defending our liberties to preserving our cultural heritage, we're here to ignite insightful discussions and passionate advocacy. Don't miss a moment of this crucial dialogue as we work to reclaim our cultural integrity and shape a brighter tomorrow. Tune in and be a part of the movement. It's your journey to informed citizenship and action. And now, let's dive in and make a difference together. Here's your host, Steve Austin.
Hello, everybody. It's good to have an opportunity to talk with you again today. We have an exciting program coming up in two respects. One is I have a co-host that's going to join me, and we'll talk to her in just a few minutes. And then secondly, I'm just fresh back from Milwaukee and the Republican National Convention, in which a lot of folks want to know what was it like there, and we're going to share some of those thoughts on you. But first of all, Save America Now PAC, it was established about 3.5 years ago. Newt Gingrich is our honorary chairman. And really, the purpose of the PAC is three things. We honor and respect sanctity of life. Secondly, we're big advocates for religious liberty. And then finally, we're advocates for capitalism from an economic standpoint. We have been successful in the sense of the three things that we try to achieve each year. And first of all, is we do have a pretty dynamic email e-blast campaign that sends out messages on timely topics every week. And that is operated by our director, Chad Porter, who happens to be in Texas. And Chad was got his master's degree in divinity and is a very godly man, but also an excellent writer. So he puts together topics on what's going on in the United States, and it can be current things or it can be issues such as, what's going on in foreign countries like Kiev. And so we try to develop topics that are quite interesting and what would be important to Christians who want to enhance their biblical citizenship. So that's one thing we do. The second thing we do, of course, is raise funds and give them to qualified candidates throughout the United States. And they can be at the senatorial level, the congressional level. And then locally in California, we've supported a number of state senators, state assembly, city council folks that obviously need funds for their campaigns. And then thirdly, something we do that probably other PACs don't do that makes us unique is periodically we hold lunches at clubs like the University Club in downtown San Diego or the Loma Santa Fe Country Club in Solana Beach. Or recently we had a major event at the Westin Resort and Spa in Carlsbad in which Trey Gowdy spoke as kind of our keynote speaker. And we had several hundred people there. Those lunches started with about 13 people, and now we have we don't have to market them very much, to be honest with you. We get several hundred people to come. So the purpose is not just raising money, but to educate citizens, Christians, to really learn about their government. You know, the churches are great on two things, but they are not so great on third. They're great on teaching family values, the family relationship from a biblical standpoint. They talk a lot about the history of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and the role of the church. But I would say their biggest weakness has to do with the role of citizenship. And that really is a matter of the ministerial staff teaching, learning and teaching a biblical perspective on government. There's a great deal of biblical insight on our role with government, and partly because the Lord knew that we would live in these civilizations that had various forms of government, and that government's going to have an impact a lot on the family and on the church and on our individual lives. So that's an area that I personally view that part of the problem we have in the United States is that we have not had that kind of focus and education from the pulpit. And I'm not shy about talking about that. And I, at our conferences, our lunches, we emphasize that. So we do some training for pastors, and we give a fair amount of information, including IRS guidelines on what you can do and not do. But that's a critical aspect of things. You know, some people believe that there are almost 40 million Christians who did not vote in 2022, almost half of whom weren't even registered to vote. And a small fraction, maybe less than 10% of those folks, could have changed dramatically the direction of this country, the people who are in Washington, the people who are in Sacramento. And we've failed to realize the tremendous power and leverage that Christians have, but we're just not doing our job. So a fair amount of this program is designed for that. So that's kind of what Save America PAC is all about. Now, I'm excited today to introduce you to our new co-host who will be joining me each week to help me develop the program and in particular help discuss issues with our guest speakers. And Kelly Hansen, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So Kelly is somebody I actually got to meet through some other Christian friends at a Padres game almost a year ago now. And tell us a little about yourself and your family and your interest in radio.
Well, first of all, Steve and I met because I heard there was this great spot at the Padres stadium. And of course, I love the Padres. So I was able to come and get those box seats with you, Steve, and meet you and all of your friends and your family. Just an amazing group of people. And then I got to hear a little bit more about your Save America Now PAC. And I was just excited to get involved. And so a little background on me, I have four boys. So I'm a mama of four boys from the ages of 9 up to 14. And, you know, I just love the Lord. And I've been raising these boys to be warrior men in this society. My husband's a firefighter, so he's gone quite a bit. And I got in the fight because COVID happened. The shutdowns happened right as my twins were going into school. So the year, Steve, that I was going to get complete freedom, my kids were all at home. And I was pissed. I was not happy about that. So I got involved. I became a campaign manager for a running U.S. senator. He was a Republican, and I went up and down California, just met incredible patriots up and down California. I didn't know there were so many of us here in Commie, California, but they are. Everybody's here. Everybody's alive. They're awake. And I own my own business, and I just got involved through that. I started hosting my own show. It's called His Story on His Glory, and I'm just getting at it. I got into the game politically a little bit late because I think a lot of our viewers can attest to this, that as Christians, you know, we really want to minister to people. We want to teach them about Jesus. And we forget about our civil duty. And we forget about our God-given rights. And that includes getting involved in politics. It may be dirty, but that's why we have to get involved and we have to clean it up. So I ran for office. I am now an elected official in my little town of Fallbrook. And I'm just really enjoying being around fellow Christians who love the Lord, love people, and understand that we have to get involved now in order to save our kids' future. So that's a little bit about me. Just excited to be here and be chatting with you, Steve.
So, Kelly, what is it that actually initially in your life got you interested in this at all?
Well, Like I said, my husband has always been very politically minded, and we've had a lot of long discussions about what it takes and what it means to be a Christian in this society and how we get involved in politics. And so him and I have been having those discussions for the 20 years we've been married. And like I said, when COVID hit and those lockdowns happened, I just saw that there was a lot of tyranny in our government. And I knew that mama bears were stepping up. and I knew that I had to get involved. I knew I had to start kind of talking about my beliefs so that other moms, other parents, other Christians could see that we have a voice and that we actually have not just the right, but we actually need to get involved.
So, well, I admire that kind of initiative, and it takes effort. I mean, it's, some people think it's, I mean, personally, I don't use the word politics much. I talk about spiritual warfare. I learned even in our own church that when you use the word politics, they define that as Republican versus Democrat. And I don't look at it that way at all. I look at it as to what's godly and what's ungodly. It's spiritual warfare. And Christians need to be involved in the spiritual battle. You know, the Bible is very clear about the fact that that we fight against principalities and powers of the air. And so accordingly, I really admire the fact that you take that initiative and that you're raising a family. I personally got involved in this effort when I was in seventh grade, and I grew up on a farm in Indiana. And in those days, and this will date me some, but there was a gentleman by the name of Barry Goldwater from Arizona running for president. And my father, somebody at the place he worked, gave him a book called None Dare Call It Treason by John Stormer. Now, in those days, about 7 million copies of that book was written, and I can still remember seeing my dad sit down one weekend in the farmhouse and read the thing cover to cover. And he kind of woke up and said, you know, what is going on in this country? And this was when there was a lot more Soviet concerns in those days. Nikita Khrushchev, for example, was head of the Soviet bloc. But it really changed his life. That book was written in a very interesting style. It had a lot of endnotes, had a lot of documentation, but it talked about how left-wing, anti-Christian influences were all over the United States, whether it was in education, in the churches, in the science, in the media. And he really sat back and thought about that. It changed our life. We went from a liberal church to a conservative Bible-believing church in a little town in Indiana. And any of you folks that have ever lived in Indiana, Indiana is chock full of little towns, I have to tell you. But from that, we got to know the Lord and Christianity. But also, my dad would get quite involved in helping congressional and local politics in rural Indiana, around the Lafayette, Indiana area. And one of the things he was famous for was getting a group of young people together. We had a big Fleetwood Cadillac, and those days you didn't have seatbelts. You just loaded the car up with kids. And every night you went out to a different city and put up you went door-to-door with brochures advocating for a certain person, and also there were a lot of telephone poles, and you would put these with a staple gun posters up all over the place. And at the end of the night, he'd take us all to the Dairy Queen. And we did that night after night during peak election times. And we enjoyed it, I think, maybe for the Dairy Queen experience more than anything, but it did teach us about the importance of understanding what was going on in the political arena. So, you know, you mentioned what you're doing with your sons, and that generational handoff is critical, because not only are you influencing the folks in California here, but you're actually training, you and your husband are training four more warriors who, when they grow up, they'll be more and more involved. So we're today.
Absolutely. And, you know, absolutely. And you say that, Steve, and it's funny because as parents, you worry about it. You wonder if you should be getting your kids involved so young and understanding what's kind of happening in the world, because there's a lot of evil out there. And so teaching them right from wrong, they need to see that evil sometimes. But you also obviously as parents want to guard them from it. So, you know, it takes a little bit of swerving and making sure you're doing it right. but I do. I wasn't really raised in a family where they talked about politics. Like you said, it was more right from wrong. But I don't think that they needed to talk to us about it as much as we do now, because the politics now, I know we hate that word. We hate talking about politics, but politics now are really affecting our education system, our parental rights. They're really influencing us because our kids are on social media. And so there's a lot more influence, I would say, that politics plays a role in our kids' lives more than I believe when I was a kid.
Well, I think that's right, Kelly. And by the way, you're listening to Kelly Hansen, Steve Austin today on Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America PAC. You know, one of the challenges that we have today versus that was over 40 years ago, is the degree in which the country has regressed into more and more liberal left-wing thinking. A lot of the issues that we deal with, I think, Kelly, in today's environment, come out of the universities. The universities and media are great drivers of trying to paint some kind of global picture, under socialism or communism, largely because the professors are, many of them are left-wing, left-leaning Marxists. And so they teach a lot of the problems that we have today. And it also explains why there's even the degree of support there is in this country for left-leaning thoughts. So anyhow, Kelly, I'm glad you're part of this show, and you'll be working. We'll be working together on things. So I do want to shift today to a fascinating week I had last week in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the Republican National Convention. Now, I mentioned to you that I was in seventh grade when I was working with the Barry Goldwater campaign in 1964. And in those days in Indiana, there wasn't Fox or CNN or any of that stuff. We had an upstairs TV with rabbit ears on it. And in rural Indiana, you got three stations. You could watch the Indianapolis station that came in pretty clear. If you were lucky and the weather was just right, maybe Cincinnati, and then to the west, Danville, Illinois. But when the elections came around, I can still remember myself and my dad and maybe my sister watching the conventions. And in 1964, I believe the convention with Barry Goldwater was in Cow Palace in San Francisco. Now, I don't know if Cow Palace is still around, but back in those days, and you saw the delegations, and they would vote for different folks when they had the roll calls. Ronald Reagan gave a famous speech called Rendezvous with Destiny in 1964. 4 years later, he was a candidate. But those were moving experiences, and probably every year after that, I would actually watch the conventions on TV, and they became more and more sophisticated. But it was the type of thing that, I often thought that it would be really cool to attend one of these. So when the PAC got started a few years ago, we got pretty involved with, a lot of Republicans here in Southern California. And, so as we worked along, somebody mentioned to me that would you like to be a delegate to the convention? And so I thought, well, that's great. Not certain that would ever happen. So I think the other day, Kelly, you asked, what's it take to become a delegate?
Yeah, and I've always been curious. I'm a delegate for the California GOP, but never even thought about being an RNC delegate. So I'd love to hear this process.
Well, it was all kind of new to me, but the way it went in my situation was the PAC and the lunches I mentioned earlier were really a way to get some exposure. I didn't do that for that particular reason. But, I got exposed to a number of kind of the leading Republicans and some of the congressional candidates and some of the people raising funds for Republican candidates. And it actually, what we were doing, particularly with the event when we had Trey Gowdy speak in June at Flag Day, was it got the attention of the chairwoman, Jessica Patterson, from the California GOP. And so I actually had an opportunity to sit down with Jessica and talk to her a little bit about this. And I mentioned to her, I said, if there's any open slots, I'd be delighted to go to Milwaukee. Well, I really didn't hear much from her. And I thought, well, that was just kind of a long shot. But after a while, they reached out to me and said, and the person was kind of coordinating this, would you like to be an alternate delegate? I said, I'll take any kind of delegate. And so lo and behold, after another month or so, the person coordinating all this for Jessica reached out and said, guess what? You're going to get something in the mail from the Secretary of State of California. I said, really? And sure enough, it was a certificate indicating that I was an official alternate delegate to the convention in Milwaukee. And so I called him back and said, what does that mean? And he said, well, there's about 160, 170 delegates, and then there's 160 or 170 alternate delegates in California. California, by the way, has the largest delegation, Kelly, in the United States, which would
make... Yeah, I think it was like, what was it, 1472 this year? How many delegates did we have for the CAGOP this year?
And for the California delegation, for the statewide, it was over 1,400. For mm-hmm. the national convention, there were about a total of about 300 of us mm-hmm. that were selected. And and there were also about 400 guests came. So, it was an interesting process, I would say. You know, I'd provided some financial support that probably didn't hurt over the years, but the reality is it. But I really think the PAC and what we're trying to do, my wife and I in particular, are trying to, help put those programs on. And there are a lot of people. My assistant at I'm a CPA helped tremendously when we'd have these lunches, and a number of folks from our friends of ours. Would come and help and do all the heavy lifting for these things, but it was distinctive enough that it got their attention. And I reached out to a couple of folks I know in San Diego County. I said, "Guess what?" And he says, "Yeah, I know. I nominated you." So I'm not certain exactly how they make the sausage, but I sense it's a matter of having a presence. Probably some financial contributions are measured. But also a willingness to really be part of the movement to enhance this country here in the United States. So
absolutely, and Steve, I'm going to cut you off for one moment and just let our audience know, because Steve is so humble. But absolutely, I know that you and your wife, you guys have put a lot of money and time and effort into really changing and, like your PAC says, saving America. So I really want our listeners to know that, of course, you got appointed and nominated. You absolutely have been just such, it's just been a pleasure to watch everything that you're doing here in San Diego, and that you continue to contribute to our kids' future and really working hard to make sure that they're set up with a future where they have freedom. So I, he's a very humble man, but our viewers need to know right now, Steve, just that you've been so good about that.
Well, thank you, Kelly. And you mentioned exactly why Gail and I are doing this, and that's really for our grandchildren, for your children, for the kids in Sunday school, for the neighborhood kids down the street, that when you look at the condition of this country, you realize how far we have drifted from having a God-centered Christian nation to one that is highly secular, pro-abortion, anti-God, and you extrapolate that a bit and think about where will this country be as it relates to our children and our grandkids if we don't do something now. I like to think of the football analogy of fourth down and long, because I think that's where we're at in this situation. And, you know, Nikita Khrushchev said, you know, we're going to take this country without ever firing a shot. And that was a very perceptive comment that he made, because they knew that through a proper infiltration and also recognizing that, you know, the one downside to capitalism, Kelly, that I found is that the fruits are so great that we fail to realize that it takes effort to maintain a constitutional republic. You know, Franklin was asked once, what kind of government do we have? And he said, well, you have a constitutional republic if you can keep it. Mm-hmm. And that if you can keep it's pretty powerful language, actually. And what it says is you've got to put some effort in each generation to maintain it. And as a result, some people do that. A lot of people don't. And they just think this great experiment could, the United States of America. You know, the U.S. is only 4% of the population of the earth. We produce 30 to 40% of the GDP. We're by far the most innovative, hardworking people, you know, that exist on earth right now. And as a result, we live well, and we have a lot of freedom, but we need to realize we have to maintain it. So let me move forward. So getting noticed that I was, invited to the convention in Milwaukee, I went about making arrangements to get there. Now, what's interesting is, as you can imagine, the Secret Service and security is over the top in something like this. And because I made plane reservations and I talked to, I like to use car services, and kind of said, well, you know, can I get, all the Republicans were at the Sheraton in Milwaukee, and you couldn't get a hotel close to the Pfizer Forum where it was held, same place the Milwaukee Bucks play. And, because the place was packed, 50,000 people came. About half of those were media folks. Only about 5,000 are delegates. But so I spent quite a bit of time talking with some of the folks, and they said, well, you know, we can pick you up at the airport and take the hotel, but after that, we don't have any clearance to even get you close to the Pfizer Forum. And so it turns out that they developed something called the GOP Express, which is a series of 300 to 400 luxury buses that were assigned to the hotels, because every hotel had different state delegates, and they actually had security at the hotels. And those buses were the only ones that could actually get through the perimeter of security and get close enough to drop people off. So the program started on Sunday, and they had a lot of activities, including things going on at the hotel, and they would have events outside the hotel, but not necessarily related to the convention directly. They, for example, Harley Davidson is based there, and they had tours of that and some of the local scene there. Harley, so I ended up arriving on Tuesday, and the convention floor on Monday night, the very first thing that happened on Monday night was the roll call. And, you know, that was kind of the big opportunity where Jessica Patterson was able to announce the delegates that voted for Donald Trump. And nominated him. And every state went around, and territory, and of course, they all had their own little jingle to how they wanted to communicate their support for Donald Trump. And he got, obviously, all the votes for the nomination on Monday night. Tuesday night, when I arrived, they had, you have to picture this place, you know, probably once you got off the bus, you went through Secret Service security, And then once you kind of got past them, they had people looking at you all the time. They had these volunteers, and you had to wear a credential, which had a different credential for each evening, each day. And those were issued to you with your name and with a number. And you also had a bus credential. We happened to be on bus number 11. And if you lost your credentials, you might as well just go home. Kelly, they weren't going to give you any more credentials.
I bet not. And I was going to say, I wonder where all the security was at the rally in Pennsylvania. But I would assume that the security is always pretty strict. But I'm guessing for this one, this RNC meeting was probably the strictest.
You're absolutely
coming
right.
Coming off of the attempted assassination.
Yeah, I mean, this was just a few days after that event occurred in Pennsylvania. And so there had to be between Secret Service and state troopers from probably just about every state in the nation, literally several thousand security folks. And, you know, you... But once you finally made your way into this beautiful forum, the Pfizer Forum — Pfizer is a financial services company, I believe, based in Milwaukee. But once you finally got in the door, there were three levels to the convention center. There was the floor, which is what you tended to see more on TV. And the delegates, the full delegates, were able to sit there. And they checked your credentials to see if you belong there, because I think some of the alternates were maybe crashing the delegate floor the first day, but after that it pretty much ended. And then there was a mezzanine, a second level, which is where I was based, and then finally a third level. So the place was huge, and so Tuesday night they had a tremendous number of speakers. They had quite a band there that played lots of very familiar songs that were, you know, patriotic and arousing and whatnot. But so Tuesday night, the thing I noticed is, you know, there were a lot of government, you know, senators and congressmen and civic leaders that spoke, and they all got 4 minutes. So, you know, they were very, very well trained and coached to get up there, talk for 4 minutes, then you left the stage. And
Steve, I have a question for you, because I was there at the cabin, at a cabin in New York with my husband's family. We were sitting around one TV and we were watching this go on. And it seemed as though there was a lot of downtime as well. Did it feel like you guys were kind of just wandering around waiting for speakers for a lot of the time?
Well, it's a good question. The event started, the buses left the hotel at around 3 p.m. And there were no Ubers or taxis or anything like that. So it basically, the buses picked you up at 3 and brought you back to the hotel sometime between 11 and 12 at night. And, so the program started at 5 o'clock and would run from 5 till 10. So let's say if you left the hotel at 3, usually we're inside the forum by 4. Now, up on the mezzanine level was also all the major networks. There was Fox. Mm-hmm. Fox actually had two booths, CNN, the BBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, all had booths up there. Now, what you were watching on TV, you know, each one of those folks had typically conference tables with their own anchor people sitting around, and they were talking about various topics and whatnot. But things were going on the floor that you didn't really see. So once 5 o'clock hit, the very first thing that happened was the colors were marched out. Various military folks brought the flags out. And then there was the Star Spangled Banner, which they had just some phenomenal, don't ask me their names, but phenomenal people who actually spoke, you know, during that period of time. And it was, if you can imagine, 25, 30,000 people enthusiastically singing the Star Spangled Banner. You know, it was a moving. And then, you know, they had prayer with some very distinguished pastors that came and gave some very moving, inspiring prayers.
You know, and even, Steve, even a lot of the speeches that were given were driven around the Lord. I was very impressed. I mean, my husband and I kept looking at each other just thinking, because a lot of his family aren't Christians, and but they are Republicans. And we thought, this is amazing. There was a lot of talk of the Lord and giving a lot of praise to the Lord. So that must have been a really cool environment. It almost feel like you were at church.
It really was, Kelly. It was amazing to, particularly coming from California, to actually, you know, be in an environment where they were honoring God, they were quoting scripture. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, for example, referred to the Bible several times in his presentation. Franklin Graham came the last day and gave a prayer. He also sent a note to Trump, said, "Don't use any foul language." I don't know.
I love that. and he's trying. Trump is trying, man. You can see him working hard not to say those foul words.
But you could feel the, you know, you could really feel in the audience a respect for God. And and I want you to kind of keep that in mind, because on August 19th in Chicago will be another convention. And I seriously doubt that God's going to be mentioned or honored in that convention. And that is exactly what the spiritual warfare is about. I would say the vast majority of the folks, the tens of thousands that were there, were active Christians. And I think in Chicago you're going to find folks who love abortion, who think that, you know, we don't need any borders, you know, high income taxes, socialism is all, you know, the greatest. And so the contrast is going to be huge.
And even on that note, Steve, even here in California, I told you I was a campaign manager running up and down California, meeting all these Republicans. And we talked about that a lot, how different it would be if we were Democrats and we were on the road, because we felt like we were just doing a church revival. I mean, everywhere we went, we were praying with people. We were connecting with them on a level that only you can connect with people through the Lord. And it was, you know, we were really trying to preach the gospel on that trail. And it wasn't just us. It was every other candidate on the campaign trail. And that's in California. So if you can imagine across the nation, but I just always wondered what it would be like to be on the campaign trail as a Democrat, because it must be a lot different.
Cold and lonely.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, you actually make a very good point, Kelly, that one of the things that we're doing is part of the Save America Now PAC is communicating the notion of how we can turn California red. And you may recall from the Trey Gowdy event that we put some maps up and actually showed a lot of California is red. Now, it's not the most highly populated areas, but you and I are working with a group of that's targeting about 25 folks, including holding certain congressional seats, but also advancing conservative Christians throughout the state of California, Central Valley, and even in Silicon Valley, certainly in Riverside County, San Diego County, Orange County, parts of L.A. County. And that in some ways, I really think in a couple more years with concerted efforts, we have an opportunity to flip California. We really do. And you can see that in New York, too. And you know, oftentimes I use this phrase, the truth percolates to the surface. It takes time, but it will. God's truth is the truth that we have to hold on to, and it will ultimately surface. And we're talking today with Kelly Hansen, Steve Austin, with the Biblical Citizenship a live program here, and sponsored by the Save America Now PAC. So one of the things I wanted to mention is, once you kind of get the setting of this, you know, Wednesday night is when Vance was nominated and approved. And, of course, he and his family were great, and his wife is from San Diego. And so there is a San Diego, Southern California connection. But what a wonderful father and husband, and somebody who's down to earth, who came from poverty and you know, some real difficult upbringing. And only in America can you end up at Yale, but served time as a Marine at 39 years old, though I think he'll be 40 by the time he's elected the vice president. But, you know, really, you know, inspiring and encouraging to this country to see what I call just common sense. You know, we see such the insanity that has been, you know, such an issue around the United States for these last 3.5 years is just really unbelievable. And what happens sometimes is people think the insanity of high inflation, pro-choice, no borders, that's become the new norm. Well, I reject that 100%. It's not the new norm, and we need to keep from being conned into thinking that's the new norm. You know, one of the things I enjoyed a lot about the convention is when Trump came, and here's somebody who in less than a week had come within millimeters of losing his life, but, you know, each night he sat there and with family, and he got to watch his sons speak, he got to watch his granddaughter speak, and then the grandkids sitting on his lap, I thought was, well, what does that tell you? That tells you a lot about the man and the comfort that those kids feel around him as a grandfather. You know, the other thing that amazed me about Trump, I've been a CPA for 50 years working hard, but his bandwidth for handling issues at a broad level and also at a very granular level, including things like paying attention to his grandkids. You know, when he walked out on stage, and I don't know how much you could see on TV, but, you know, he walked out on stage with this big Trump sign behind him all lit up. That just electrified the audience beyond belief. And then he took the podium. Now, some people complained he spoke for 91 minutes. I enjoyed all 91 minutes, to be honest with you. But to me, the thing that I found most exhilarating, because it was there every night, was if you looked up in the ceiling, Kelly, you would see thousands of balloons that were all blown up, and there was like fishnet holding them to the ceiling of the forum. And they were kind of in different pockets. And I said, you know, because I probably could have taken an earlier bus home, but I said, on Thursday night, you know, I'm going to stay for the bitter end here and see this thing happen. And sure enough, and he went on for 90 minutes. I could see the teleprompter from my seat. And what would happen is I think he had a 45-minute talk prepared, but he would go off script, and the teleprompter would stop rolling. And whoever controlled the teleprompter was able to know when he was going off script and would stop it so he wouldn't lose track of where he was at.
But, well, and I don't think anybody controls him, by the way, because he does go off topic, and I love it because he gives a piece of really who he is, a piece of humanity in that. And I wanted to ask you, because you were there, did it seem like his demeanor was lighter? I would almost say lighter. He seemed maybe more humbled because of the assassination attempt. Maybe he was starting to grasp what's important in life. But did you see a little bit of a difference in his demeanor in person?
I certainly heard quite a difference. I've heard Donald Trump speak before, and I saw where he I saw him in Anaheim, and I don't know if you were there. I took my grandson mm-hmm. there. Were you at that event?
I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. He was great at that event. I couldn't believe some of the things he said. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was very California-focused, which was interesting. But my grandson and I drove up there, and I thought we'd be there early. There were 2,000 people came, and we stood for 3 hours to get through mm-hmm. security. And for me, at my age, that's a lot of
standing. Yeah, but you weren't in heels. You know, I was in heels.
Oh, so gosh.
I'm doing that in heels, Steve.
Yeah. I mean, my grandson, who's 13, pretty athletic kid, even he was getting kind of tired. But we finally got in the door. I had paid for premium seats, and we ended up at table 62. I thought, wow.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's premium seats. But as you may recall, there were probably 20 TV cameras in the back. And mm-hmm. but he had that place. He was able to take that crowd and really get them warmed up. The table I was at had probably 8 women over 65 years old at the table, and mm-hmm. my grandson and I. Of course, all the women love my grandson, but they were standing. These older women were standing on their seats at the end, taking pictures. And it was like, mm-hmm. somebody's going to fall off their chair. They didn't. But the place was just, it was truly amazing. So I contrast that in response to your question. I contrast that to what you were mentioning. And I would say there was a quieter demeanor to him and a little more, you know, God-fearing. In terms mm-hmm. of his message and whatnot. So it was, it was inspiring from that standpoint. But I have to tell you that it was a bucket list item for me, and I was very thankful. I sent lots and lots of pictures to friends. My phone was, as my granddaughter was blowing up, as my granddaughter calls it, mm-hmm. and a lot of people wanted to kind of get the feel from being inside the center. But, you know, when we all left on the bus, it was pushing midnight on Thursday night, but it was really, it met a lot of great people, just even riding the bus, people from various states. And I have to tell you, it was a great experience. So
that sounds amazing. I hope I can get there one day, Steve. So,
well,
hey, I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to ask you because obviously I want to go to the RNC one day. I was kind of hopeful I could have made it that one as well. But moving out of that and then seeing what happened with Biden dropping out, you know, have you been able to talk to anybody who was at the RNC about Biden dropping out and what they really think behind the scenes, what was happening?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. Some of the folks I was sitting with, there were rumors of that going around that night whatnot. So, but, you know, the reality is that it was a great experience. I encourage folks it was kind of history-making. And obviously, we have a lot of hard work, though, ahead of us, and that's between now and November 5th to make certain that as biblical citizens, that we take this experience, whether you watched it remotely on TV or if you were there, and actually turn that into an opportunity to change the country for your kids, your grandkids, and to make certain that we're really working hard to preserve our constitutional republic. So thank you, Kelly, for joining.
Yeah.
For joining.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
As my co-host, and we'll look forward to working together on future programs.
That concludes another powerful episode of Biblical Citizenship Alive, brought to you by Save America Now PAC. We thank you for joining us today as we tackled the crucial issues facing our beloved nation. Remember, we stand united for a pro-American, pro-family future deeply rooted in our foundational truths. The insightful discussions and passionate advocacy you've heard here today are just the beginning of our journey to reclaim our cultural integrity. Stay informed, stay engaged, and join us next week as we continue to shape a better tomorrow. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, let's keep standing strong for what matters most.